नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय फ्रॉम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड माय डियर किंग ओ सन ऑफ मदर उत्तरा There were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jad Bharat due to his being insulted by King Rahugna, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jad Bharat neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugna had insulted him, he was a great Paramahansa. Being a Vaishnav, he was very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugna pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 21st verse, Kapil Dev describes the symptoms of great personality. Titiksha Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam. A saintly devotee is certainly very tolerant. He is the friend of all living entities. He does not create enemies within the world. A pure devotee has all the qualities of a sadhu. Jad Bharat is an example of this. Due to the material body, his senses were certainly agitated when he was insulted by King Rahugna. But later, due to the king's humble submission, Jad Bharat excused him. It is the duty of everyone desiring to return to Godhead to become submissive like King Rahugna and beg pardon of Vaishnavas one may have offended. Vaishnavas are generally very kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits himself at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, one is immediately cleared of offensive reaction. If one does not do so, the reaction will remain and the results will not be very palatable. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear king, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jad Bharat. And it shows many different things, the qualities which a devotee should try to cultivate, especially forgiveness. Srila Prabhupada explains that a pure devotee exhibits 26 qualities which are listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And one can judge how much one is making spiritual advancement by seeing how those qualities are becoming manifested. Of course, all the qualities may not develop instantly. The most important quality which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains is Krishnaika Sharanam, that one who has taken shelter of Krishna, and the other qualities may come gradually. But nevertheless, a devotee should be constantly examining himself to see how I am coming close to the expectations of pure devotional service. So, here we see that Jad Bharat is exhibiting this quality of forgiveness. It is explained in the translation here that initially Jad Bharat also, he felt little disturbed. The word is used that there were some waves of dissatisfaction. So, in one sense, that gives hope that even such a great personality is experiencing dissatisfaction. Means how difficult it is to be completely tolerant. Jad Bharat was a Paramahamsa. But still it is explained that his senses were disturbed. And then Rahugna begged forgiveness and he forgave him. That means even at such an advanced stage, dissatisfaction or anger or lust, these thoughts may come. Just like that great beautiful verse which Srila Prabhupada often quotes, Yadavadi Mama Krishna, Padaravindu, Yamunacharya, that now that I am engaged in the service of Krishna, when thoughts of sense gratification come to me, I spit at the thought. That means even at such a elevated platform as Yamunacharya, the thoughts may still come, but he rejects it. And here also, Jada Bharat is slightly disturbed that why he is saying this to me, why is he chastising me? But then he, by his quality of tolerance, and also because Rahugna begged forgiveness, he forgave him and continued. So, a devotee, his mind is like an ocean, pure devotee. Just like waves of rivers may come in the ocean, but the ocean remains undisturbed. So in a devotee's heart also, thoughts may come of sense gratification, may be disturbed by anger and so on. But because of his practicing devotional service, he can learn to tolerate it. In this material world, no matter who we are, where we are, there will be instances where we'll be provocated. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter to one devotee that do not expect a utopian society. You know, although of course this spiritual society, ISKCON, is teaching us pure devotional service, but not everybody may be on the level of pure devotional service, and definitely we are not ourselves. So a devotee, he always he knows that yes, we are all sadhakas, we are all practicing, and like that famous sentence of Srila Prabhupada, one can judge the greatness of a person by how he can tolerate provocating situations, how one can remain undisturbed. So this is a quality which gradually becomes manifest. The philosophical understanding which can help one to develop this quality is that everything is happening by the will of Krishna. This one sentence is so much deep, and it can actually solve the problems of the world. Just to see that not a blade of grass can move without Krishna's sanction. So this person is insulting me, or is blaming me for something which I have not done, and that activity is being sanctioned by Krishna. Krishna is a supreme controller. So just that one realization that not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction, that can help one become tolerant. That if Krishna is sending this, Krishna is my best friend, Surida Sarabhutanam, he is my best friend, and if he is allowing this incident to happen, that means it must be for my good. It must be for my good. And although I may not know the plan of the Lord, the plan of the Lord is for my welfare, is for my good. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, he could have counter-cursed. He was very powerful. He could have counter-cursed, or he could have even evaded the effect of the curse. But Parikshit Maharaj accepted that, yes, this is the will of Krishna. Just to see that one sentence. In Krishna consciousness, it's not necessary that we be pedagogical scholars. We may know few things, but we realize few things. Then that is perfection. It's like if you don't know many shlokas, but if you know Trinadapi Sunichena, which yesterday's Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was so beautifully elaborating, if you just know this one verse and you actually live by it, like Kaviraj Goswami says, that tight around the neck, then you can chant constantly. That's perfection. So, of course, knowledge is very useful, but it's also good, what is known in Sanskrit as manan, to contemplate what we read and hear. Like the cow who eats the grass, and then there is rumination process. The grass is brought back. Same way during the daytime or whenever we get time that to think about the teachings, what we hear or we read. Just to think that yes, everything is happening by the will of Krishna. Everything is happening by the will of Krishna. So if Krishna is allowing this to happen, thank you, Krishna. This is your mercy. In my past life, I do not know my past lives. Fortunately, good. It's too embarrassing to remember all the nonsense we have done. So in my past life, I must have offended somebody. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he is Paramahamsa, pure Vaishnava, but he would say like that. When somebody offended him, he said, it's my past life, I must have offended that person. Such a great personality like Prabhupada can say like this, what to speak of us. And we are all, we should know that we are conditioned souls. Like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he's constantly in his songs singing about his shortcomings. Amara jivana sada paparata nahiko punnera lesh parera udvega diyache. I'm full of faults. I have no good qualities. He's always bhuliya tomare sansar. He's praying to Lord that I've offended you many, many births. Now I'm coming back to you. So this feelings of remorse, repentance, and constantly nudging on to one's own shortcomings is a great asset in spiritual life. To always be in that mood of, you know, in material world, people teach you to always think good about yourself, be confident, think highly of yourself. But a devotee is one who is always thinking that how much degraded I am. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would drink buttermilk. First he was begging alms, and then he stopped begging alms, and he was taking at the free booths prasad, and then he stopped that also. And then finally he was taking the rice which the cows would reject, and then he was taking just few drops of buttermilk at Radha Kund, and he would condemn himself, you know, that I am so degraded, this body is anyway going to die, why am I spending so much time for it? If you have that mentality of always condemning yourself, then you won't feel offended. His Grace Govind Prabhu was telling one very nice point in one lecture. He was explaining that to think that I will forgive somebody, that is also a sign of pride. Because it's like if I think, oh, I will forgive you, you know, like an act of benevolence, you know, out of causeless mercy, knowing that you have no other hope, I you know, I will forgive you, you know. But who am I to forgive, you know? Like one godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, somebody approached him for begging forgiveness. He said, oh, how can you offend me? I am a criminal. Where's the question of offense? So it's good to always be in that mood of repentance. Because if you are sincere, Krishna reveals innumerable faults in yourself. It's like Shishupal was empowered to see faults in others, even in Krishna himself. So Krishna, if you are sincere, Krishna will give you that ability to always see faults in oneself. And actually we are all struggling, how many shortcomings we have. So these little things will not disturb us. And another thing which can help one develop this quality, which Jad Bharat is so beautifully illustrating, is that this person, first of all, it's not his fault. But even if my conditioned nature makes me think that it's his fault, he's teaching me tolerance. So he's giving me a chance to pass the exam, the final exam, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taro Rivasaish. In other words, he is granting me entrance into the realm of pure chanting. You see, in every situation is arranged by Krishna. And this person is just an instrument. If it were not this person, it would have been some other person or some other situation. So if one tries to think like that, then it becomes easy to. Just like Jesus Christ was asked, how many times shall I beg forgiveness? 70. That's 7 times 70. the words, unlimitedly begging forgiveness, and I'm sorry, forgiving others. And he said, blessed are those who forgive, for they shall be forgiven. In comparison to the original sin, the sin of disobeying the will of God and leaving the spiritual world, all other offenses are insignificant. So if one always thinks that if I forgive, then Krishna will forgive me for whatever I am, whatever I have done wrongs, even after coming to devotional service, knowingly, unknowingly, like that. So if one is thinking like that, then Krishna will be very kind upon us. Because Krishna is actually autocrat. Krishna is not bound by any law. He is not even bound by Shastra law. He is ultimately not even bound by his words. He breaks his promise. He is not famous for being very honest. But Krishna is Swarat. And if Krishna, out of his sweet will, he feels that this person, although full of faults, although full of defects, is trying to serve me, and he is trying to forgive others, then Krishna will forgive us. You know, if we show mercy to others, then Krishna becomes merciful to you. It's like that famous story of Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami wanted to escape from the prison, he told that prison keeper that please release me and I shall go to Mecca. And if you release me, then the Lord will help you. And Prabhupada writes in that beautiful purport there that when one helps in preaching, then he becomes very dear to the Lord. Because preaching is an act of trying to release others from the prison of material bondage. So if one tries to help others, then Krishna helps him. Bhakti is ultimately the causeless mercy of Krishna. Causeless mercy of Krishna through Srimati Radharani. There is a story of Yudhishthira Maharaj also. The purport Prabhupada is quoting that famous verse of Lord Kapila's teaching, Titiksha Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam. The symptoms of great personalities is very tolerant and friend of all living entities. And he said here, Surida Sarvadehinam. This was one quality exhibited by King Yudhishthira. He is known as Ajata Shatru. Ajata Shatru means he whose enemy is never born. He who has no enemies. Now one may ask that Duryodhan was his enemy and so many others like Karna and others. But Yudhishthira Maharaj never considered them to be his enemies. A pure devotee, when he sees somebody behaving in this way, he just sees that somehow or other he is behaving like that, but he is a part of Krishna. So this Radhanath Maharaj was so beautifully explaining yesterday. To see Krishna in every living being, one offers respects. That reminded me of one verse by Bhaktivinod Thakur. It is one of these songs which he wrote on Shikshashtakam. Bhaktivinod Thakur wrote two or three songs on each verse on Shikshashtakam, which are nothing but elaborations of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So in one verse, in one song, he sings like that Shri Krishna Kirtane Jadi Manasa Tahara Parama Yatana Taha Labha Adhikar. That if you desire to chant the name of Krishna constantly, then you should develop these qualities. Krishna Adhishtana Sarve Jive Jani. Knowing Krishna to be present in all living beings, one offers respects everywhere and to everybody. Just like I told earlier, that rather than knowing many things pedagogically, to live by a few things is more important. And that's one sentence which is so much very basic. Even before coming to ISKCON, we may be knowing that God stays in every living entity's heart. Krishna is there in every being's heart. So just to know that, that means we are always seeing Krishna's temple. We are always seeing Krishna. Of course, not so easy to realize it. But at least on an academic level, we know it and we practice offering respects. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was, although Duryodhan was, you all know that how he tried to burn them in Lakshagra, he tried to disrobe Draupadi and so many. But still, Yudhishthira Maharaj was so tolerant. He was so loving. We know that once during the exile period, the Pandavas were staying in the forest, and Duryodhan, along with his brothers, he purposefully came and he wanted to show off his opulence. So it so happened that that area was occupied by some Gandharvas, and Duryodhana tried to fight with them, but the Gandharvas defeated him and he was arrested. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he sent Arjuna to go and help Duryodhan. It was by the conspiracy of Duryodhan that Yudhishthira Maharaj was in the forest. And generally, a person, if he sees that that a person who is behaving inimical towards him is punished or suffering, one feels happiness. One would feel happiness, yes. See, the reaction has come. But Yudhishthira Maharaj did not feel like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Arjuna to go and release Duryodhan. It was always, even to the very end, yesterday, Surinath Adhanath Maharaj was explaining that to the very end, Yudhishthira sent Lord Krishna to try to have a peace negotiation or mediation. But Duryodhan did not accept. So Yudhishthira is one example of this quality of ajata shatru, that no inimical. Krishna explains in the Gita that one of the qualities of a pure devotee is sama shatrau cha mitrau cha, to be equi-minded in enemy and friend. And Yudhishthira Maharaj perfectly exhibited this quality. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also explains that all these qualities develop simply by rendering devotional service. Automatically, just by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just by very sincerely taking shelter of Sri Nam Prabhu, the divine sound vibration, all impurities in the heart vanish. One learns to remember Krishna always. It's remembrance of Krishna which is the source of all good qualities. And forgetfulness of Krishna is nothing but Maya. So to the degree one intensifies his remembrance of Krishna, both in chanting and afterwards also, to that degree, the impurities vanish. Sometimes it seems like it's unlimited, the impurities within our heart, they are like a big mountain. But Krishna is Giridhari, he can lift mountains. Krishna is unlimited in his mercy. Our faults are unlimited, but Krishna's mercy is unlimitedly unlimited. He is Karuna Sindhu. If he so desires out of his causeless mercy, just like that story of the sparrow and the eggs. The sparrow was trying to empty the ocean, but when Garuda came, immediately the eggs were retrieved. So to take shelter of Krishna's holy name is really the essence of all good quality. Jivedoya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that just by taking shelter of the holy name, that is the essence of all religious principles. Oftentimes, materialistic people also, they exhibit these qualities for some time, but they are all superficial because they are not based on devotional service. Devotional service is the only truth. Apart from devotional service, all piety and so-called good behavior is simply an illusion. It's just external. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Kuliya, at that time, At first he was very angry with Devananda Pandit for offending Srivas Thakur. But later on he forgave him. So after forgiving, Devananda Pandit asked, what should be my speech on Srimad Bhagavatam? What should I speak? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam is devotional service, in the middle is devotional service, and in the end is devotional service. And devotional service, for all practical means, it simply means to chant Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he outlined in few instructions the essence of bhakti. And one of the statements he says that devotional service is the loud chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. There is that famous story of the sadhu who was meditating on the bank of the river, and a scorpion happened to bite him. And immediately the scorpion fell down. And again he picked up the scorpion, trying to save it. And again the scorpion bit. And somebody told this sadhu that don't you know, why are you trying to save the scorpion? So he said, it's the nature of the scorpion to bite. But it's my nature to try to help, to try to forgive. So this is, for an advanced devotee, it becomes natural. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj is also given very nice talks on this subject matter, I think. Many of you might have heard. He was explaining in one talk that how no matter where you are in any society, if you live with people, there will be some offenses, some misunderstandings, because you know this is the nature of the world. But if you hold grudge against someone, if someone has offended you, and if you are always thinking about it, it's like carrying hot coals on your palms. So you may be wanting to take revenge, but in the process, you're burning yourself. He spoke very elaborately on this subject matter and is explaining about how forgiveness, forgive even before the offense is completed. Just seeing everything as Krishna's mercy. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj also, he was explaining to one devotee in Vrindavan that it really doesn't matter whether you are right or he is right. Vaishnavism is beyond relative rights and wrong. You know, that even if the other person is at fault, or even if the other person is wrong, that's not so important. The important thing is that one begs forgiveness. You know, one simply accepts that I am wrong. Because it's really a matter of ego, who is right, who is wrong, many times. But if one simply accepts that, yes, I am at fault, then there is no question of offense at all. There is Srila Prabhupada's famous example, how when he was about to leave the world also, we know there's no question of offense on the part of Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada, when he was about to leave, he called some of his godbrothers and he was saying, please forgive my offense. This is another quality of a great Paramahansa Vaishnava. Not only he forgives others, but he always thinking that I may have offended somebody. Beg forgiveness from that person. And then there is the epitome of all forgiveness is the story of Jagai and Madhai. How Nityananda Prabhu forgave Jagai and Madhai. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry that he was about to sever the heads of Jagai Madhai, Nityananda Prabhu forgave them. Haridas Thakur also, when he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, he was praying for those who were offending him. The Lord sent the Sudarshan Chakra to punish the offenders, but Haridas Thakur stopped the chakra. He said, I can tolerate my own suffering, but I can never tolerate others' suffering. Para dukha dukhi. So these are some examples which can inspire us in our own little way to develop this quality. The prayers of Jagai and Madhai also, after they were forgiven, they approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu later in a private place. And it's recorded in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the beautiful prayers that they were offering. That please, Lord, please forgive us. He said, I am like a cruel, ungrateful, poisonous snake. I'm an offender. Please forgive. Please forgive me. So, we don't even know whom we have offended. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu instructed them to perform this service of building ghats on the bank of the Ganga. And in His grace. Jananivas Prabhu was telling that sometimes even after they were doing this service, some people being inimical to them previously would throw stones at them, beat them, and Jagai and Madhai would take those stones and give them back. Please, we deserve more. We deserve more. Just see the power of Lord Gaur Nitai's mercy. That one who was so aggressive, so cruel, murdering people, is become so forgiving that even if he is beaten, he feels that he deserves more. This is the crescendo of all change of hearts. This shows that no matter who we are, how fallen we are, we have hope. Our hope is in the divine shelter of the mercy of Lord Gauranga and Nityananda, which is being given to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He was so tolerant. He was so tolerant that there's no limit to his tolerance. So we always beg mercy from Sri Guru, from Srila Prabhupada. Knowing our conditioned nature, knowing our fallen, degraded condition, we fall at their feet and beg. Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Kurove Dase Trana Pekat. Please give me mercy. Please show me this one mercy. Make me Trina Pekati Hina. Make me tolerant. Make me humble like a blade of grass. And Sakale Samane Kurite Shakati Dehonatha Jata Jata. Give me the ability to honor everybody. This is real mercy of the spiritual master, to be able to honor everybody, to be able to see good in others. Sakale samane korite shakti. I may be able to honor everybody. So we should be always begging the spiritual master, begging Harinam. Srila Prabhupada explained in the 7th canto that even while chanting Hare Krishna, one may be committing offenses. And because of offenses, one does not feel the ecstasy. Like it is explained in the Bhagavatam that if one doesn't feel tears coming out of his eyes, that means his heart is very hard, steel framed. But we should be praying that Rupa Goswami Prabhupada explains two prayers, quoting one from Namashtaka, Rupa Goswami's prayer, Nikhila Shroti Moli Ratna, that, O Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are served by the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures, the Upanishads. Even Brahma, Shiva, Narada, they sing the glories of your lotus feet. So when one offers these prayers, even when we finish our japa, it should not be so mechanical. Just like when one finishes the offering in the arati, one begs forgiveness from the deities for any offenses. Similarly, one should be begging forgiveness from the holy name, Prabhu, that I have tried to perform this puja of chanting 16 rounds. Knowingly or unknowingly, so many offenses may have been there. Please forgive me. I beg forgiveness. And lastly, I take this opportunity to beg forgiveness from all of you. Please bless me that I can chant Hare Krishna purely, at least once before leaving my body. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a wonderful class. I was wondering how it is that we're supposed to examine ourselves to see how we're developing these good qualities, yet at the same time always be contemplating how we have no good qualities. So, you know, like we're seeing that, you know, if we're committing offenses, we don't feel any ecstasy, we have a hard heart, but we're trying to get rid of the offenses. So if we do feel the ecstasy, do we recognize it or not recognize it? How does it work?
Srila Prabhupada said like this, that one should be developing these Vaishnava qualities, and that's how one can know. Of course, if a devotee somehow develops good quality, he always feels himself that it's all the mercy of the spiritual master. one never feels himself actually qualified. It's a paradox, no doubt. It's a paradox that how one can actually develop quality, and it's an inconceivable thing how Rupa Sanatana would feel themselves that when they approach Lord Chaitanya, that that we are more degraded. Jagai Madhai, they had performed some abominable act. Actually, they were saying that Jagai Madhai, they have done some abominable acts, but by chanting your name, they are delivered. They never served mlechhas. It's an inconceivable thing which is beyond human reasoning. See, humility is not in the realm of material reasoning. It's a gift of God. One cannot pretend to be humble for long. Like, you know, one may practice that also. That's also good, to practice to say like this and to offer obeisances. That's part of Vaishnava culture. But at an advanced stage, one genuinely feels like that. Just like Kaviraj Goswami says that I am lower than Jagai and Madhai. And if somebody says my name, he will lose all pious credit. And when somebody hears my name, he will become sinful. He's actually feeling like that. And yet he wrote the most wonderful literature. At the same time, Prabhupada does mention that one should be, Krishna consciousness is a matter of, just like when you eat food, you feel hunger is vanished. So one should find that these bad qualities are vanishing and love is awakening. I'm not sure, maybe somebody else can elaborate. Radha Gopinath. Yes.
Hello. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I have been forgiven so many times in life by everybody. By everybody, my counselor, brahmacharis, especially Govind Prabhu. And the result is that I have been doing the same offenses again and again without realizing that I have done an offense, because I have been forgiven every time. Now, my question is that there are, in the process of forgiving, there are three ways. Suppose somebody makes an offense to me, I pretend that I have not heard it and I have not paid any attention to it. But the problem is that the same way, when as I felt, the person doesn't feel that he has made an offense and he'll try to do it again. The other way is that I ask him, I be humble and I say, Prabhuji, I am sorry if I have offended to you. Please forgive me. And naturally the result is, he said, don't dare do it again. And he will again do the same offense. The third is that I tell him that this is an offense and you should not do it again and again. And then he does the more offense. And suppose I shout at him back, I give him the same language, probably he will not do the same offense again. Now, I am not bothered about offense to me if he does it again. But sometimes, and so many times in my life also, this comes in the way of my devotion also, my attempt of devotion also. For example, suppose I am chanting in the bus. I am sitting in the bus and I take half an hour to reach the temple and I chant. And the person who is sitting nearby, he does the offense and he goes on and on and on, and that interferes my chanting. So what way is the best and how to deal with it? Hare Krishna.
You should not chant in bus. At least not part of your 16 rounds. No, I'm just joking. I think Govind Prabhu would be the best person to answer this question. Mike, please give the mic to him.
I have a question.
You're getting late now. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Krishna is a protector of everybody. Hare Krishna. Shilab, Yes, anything else? Anyone? Hare Krishna. His Grace Govind Prabhu Ki. Jai. His Grace Shyamananda Prabhu Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai.